You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Netflix's boss wants to make sure all is A-OK with South Korea. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service.
They thought they escaped the games, but fate has a way of bringing them back.
That's the trailer for Squid Game 2 out later this year, and the boss of Netflix, Ted Sarandos, is in South Korea where that's made. And he's assured the public there that the streaming giant's $2.5 billion investment in South Korean content won't bypass local young talent. And Netflix has developed somewhat of a special relationship with Korea since the country is responsible for some of the platform's biggest shows. But as the BBC's Yuna Koo in Seoul tells me, the success comes at a cost.
So first, Sarandos said Netflix will invest in overall creative content ecosystem in South Korea, which includes training for next generation of creators in front and behind the camera. And on the day before, he actually met with around 100 students studying film with Korean director Park Chan-wook.
Tell us a little bit about this kind of special relationship that Netflix has with South Korea, because shows like Squid Games have become really, really popular. Has that changed the industry, the media industry in South Korea?
Yeah, I think the first time that Netflix fell into love with South Korea is after the release of Squid Game. It was the biggest hit from Netflix. After that, Netflix began to like have stronger ties with Korea and began to produce more content, especially TV dramas and films after that.
And I think there was some statistic out there saying that 60% of Netflix viewers, they've at least watched one Korean show over the past couple of years. It's really interesting. But I mean, does everyone like the effect that Netflix has had on the media industry there?
As Netflix keeps raising the production cost hurdle, local streaming platforms and production companies are finding hard to survive in this market. And some people are saying that because Netflix is benefiting from producing Korean contents, they should invest some money to this local market as well. And it is expected that this is one of the agenda the Sarandos will be speaking with the Prime Minister today during the meeting. One of the points is that Netflix is owning all the IP rights for the content made in Korea. So people are saying that it is true that Netflix is providing some creators that opportunities that they have never had because they now have opportunity to produce their content to the global audience. But do they earn enough money after that, after the big hit? We don't know. We are not quite sure about it.
The BBC's Yuna Koo for us in Seoul. Thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Yeah, thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks fell as the Bank of England is expected to raise interest rates to 4.75%. London's FTSE 100 is down 0.7%, and Europe's region-wide Stock 600 has fallen 0.8%. Now, world leaders could give poorer countries access to hundreds of billions of dollars to tackle climate change at a meeting in Paris today. Lower income nations say they deserve help because they face the greatest risks from a rise in temperatures and have done the least to create the crisis. Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados, has been driving the initiative, and the BBC's climate editor, Justin Rowlett, explains.
Mia Motley may be the Prime Minister of one of the smallest nations on Earth, but she aims to reshape world finance. She's built a global coalition in support of her demand that the international financial system undergoes a fundamental reform. The aim is to make it much cheaper for low-income countries to take climate action by getting the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund to use their financial clout to cut interest rates and guarantee loans for developing countries. That would help draw in hundreds of billions of dollars of additional private money. She hopes to be able to announce $100 billion worth of low-cost finance has been arranged when the conference ends on Friday.
That was the BBC's climate editor, Justin Rowlett. Now, doctors working on the front line in Ukraine say thousands of lives are being saved by an anti-bleeding fabric that's made from shrimps. It's manufactured in Somerset in southwest England, the BBC's Matthew Hill reports.
Dr. Irina Rybinkina puts her life in danger every day in Ukraine, helping the victims of the war. At times, she has to treat very traumatic injuries.
The first thing you do is you put a tourniquet on, and then you try and stop the bleed by packing the wound.
This production line in Bridgewater has been playing a vital role in helping medics like Dr. Rybinkina save lives. The bandages made by the firm Nonwoven are then incorporated into first aid kits by another British company. The secret of their success is down to this tiny shellfish, the shrimp. Mariners have known for hundreds of years that shrimp shells are good at stopping bleeding, and the extract from them, known as chitosan, is woven into the company's bandages. The Ukrainian military rang Nonwoven shortly after the invasion and began asking for as many bandages as they could make, and the demand continues.
So it has been saving lives, you think?
It's been saving a lot of lives, thousands of them. We get a lot of feedback from the people who are using them. They send a message saying, you know what, your first aid kit, it did save lives. Someone got there and we used the tourniquet and the Salix and the gauze and everything. And the person actually arrived alive at the evacuation point.
Since I interviewed Dr. Rybinkina, she was involved in a serious road traffic accident on her way back from duties and is now being treated for a broken arm. But she remains undaunted and hopes to be back in the front line treating more casualties with these bandages as soon as possible.
The BBC's Matthew Hill reporting there. And finally, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg have agreed to fight each other in a cage match in the Vegas Octagon. Yeah, you heard me right. The thing is, Mark Zuckerberg is trained in MMA and has recently won jiu-jitsu tournaments, while Musk, well, he says he never works out and his signature move is the walrus. It's where he lies on top of his opponents and does nothing. Don't know if that's going to be a fair fight. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.